Hi, I'm Thomas Cook. Welcome to Making It and what that means to me.
Welcome to episode number 2 of Making It with Thomas Cook. Thomas, this episode, I'm really excited to get into the story with you because at age 18, something very significant happened to you, and you've attributed a lot of the subsequent part of your life to that life experience. Tell us about what happened and what that meant to you.
Thanks, Brian. When I was 18 years of age, I was pronounced dead in a car accident. A car hit me. I was at a stop sign. I was hit on the right-hand side, and I was pushed up through a sign and through the side of a building. I was pronounced dead in the ambulance, flatlined. And then I was pronounced dead again on the ER table in the hospital. I was in a coma. I could hear things, but I couldn't speak because I had a trachea and I was in a coma. And I always used to tell people later, please know that people can hear you when you're in a coma. When I came out of my coma, I woke up and there were flowers everywhere. So I was a little overwhelmed because I thought I was either in a funeral home or at the gates of heaven. And I wasn't sure which one I was in. But I do know this. I would never want flowers again in my room like that. It was kind of scary. And I had the nurses give them out to all the old people that were sick in the hospital. What happened to me then was it kind of made me realize when I was a kid, I was in the reading corner, and I used to talk a lot, so I was sent there because I couldn't help talking. It's one of those things. But I was able to write down in my little journal, I will sing for the Queen of England and famous people. I will sing for the poor and the rich, and I'll make a difference in the world. That was at 12. My mom read that little book on my 21st birthday, and it's kind of funny that I had achieved half of everything that I wrote down in that book. The car accident made me realize I wasn't afraid anymore. I'd already been dead twice. What's they're afraid of? It made me realize that I had this entire life in front of me, and go for it. Do your dream. There was nothing to be afraid of. It's crazy. This is the first time I've gotten this emotional telling the story. Because I actually don't want to forget anything. Because if I'm going to tell this story and it's going to be real and true, I want to make sure that I'm 100% honest. It's crazy. I've told this story a lot in my lifetime. But right now, this is the first time I've gotten so emotional because I actually know that this is it. These are my words that I'm going to share to the world. And I want to be as truthful and as honest and as real. So I don't want to hold back anything. I want to make sure that if I leave something to others, that I actually am leaving them 100% the truth of my truth. We all have our own truth. But for me, that accident changed my life forever. It was something that literally made me realize, goes back to the comment I said, every night, and this is a true story, and I've told you this, Brian, I always say, before I put my head on a pillow, I ask two questions. Did somebody change my life today, or did I change somebody's life? And if I can answer that, honestly, then I can go to sleep, and if I never wake up again, I know I achieved my goal. And if I can't answer it, I will go outside. I will find a homeless person. I will not give them money. I will give them a sandwich. But I will not go to sleep until I know I've tried to do something. Or talk to somebody on the subway. Or try to get somebody on a telephone that I hadn't talked to in a while and say, how you doing? We have to do that. It's part of mankind, humankind, to try to reach out and want to do something for others more than ourselves. It's what fills our tank. You know, it keeps us alive. That accident changed my life forever. And from that moment on, it took fear away. I didn't have fear about what people thought of me, how people perceived me. It was be good, be honest, be true, be real. And if you do, good things are going to happen. Good people are going to happen.
What is the life that you've changed that you're most proud of post-accident?
Oh, my God.
There's a lot. Or maybe give a couple of examples.
That's a tough question.
Give a couple that come to your mind just quickly without thinking too much about it.
When I moved to New York City, my dream was to be on Broadway and to do the Rainbow Room and to do Tavern on the Green and to be able to break in to New York City. A lot of personal things happened then. I was dating a girl. We were living together. Walked in and she was having a relationship with somebody else when I opened the door. That was my moment of saying, okay, this isn't going to work for me. And I didn't know where I was going to live. Didn't have a lot of money. Found a guy that gave me a closet that I could sleep on the floor. Now, mind you, I had Gucci. I had really fancy clothes. I looked good. I looked really good because I had just come from Palm Beach. And we'll get back to that story, how all that happened. But that young lady who cheated on me did me the greatest thing in my life. It made me kind of figure out who I was. That's a huge story because that could be about women, men, life, straight, gay, bi. At a young age of that life, I was like, who am I? What am I? Where the hell am I going? So it opened this whole new path in my life of looking at me. And I actually, just the other night, I was in New York having dinner at a private club, and there was this priest sitting in front of me. And I said, Father, how the heck are you doing? And I introduced myself to him, and I didn't know which parish he was in New York, but I knew he was one of the parishes. And I said, you know, Father Robert Robbins, and I hope you're listening, Robert, gave me my first break. He let me sing at the Al Smith dinner. And I told this other priest, and he says, oh, I know Robert very well. I said, Father, he gave me my first break, and I'll never forget this. Here I am singing for President Bush at the time, the Cardinal, all these famous people. And I said, you know, Father, what was really crazy is I've gone from singing there to singing with Engelbert Humperdinck, working with Wayne Newton, Prince Charles, traveling the world. And I said, working with the White House. And I said, now I'm involved with a cancer company, changing the world of cancer. Governor Tommy Thompson came on our board, got really involved. The priest says, oh, I love Governor Tommy Thompson. He's a good friend of mine. I said, you're kidding. And then his niece, who was having dinner with him, said, oh, my dad just interviewed the governor. And I said, get out of here. This little story I'm telling you is how the universe works all the time, over and over and over. Whether I'm in a bus, a train, a plane, these stories come back over and over again. And then he took a break to go say hi to somebody. And I said to the niece, I said, what parish is he with? She goes, oh, St. Patrick's Cathedral. He like does something. And he gave me his card and I put his card in my pocket. And I forgot to look at the card because I didn't want that to be the reason I was talking to him. After he left, I read the card and it was His Eminence Cardinal O'Connor of New York City, the bishop. That kind of made me smile because my very great friend, Richard Kennedy, died, and I was asked to do his eulogy at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And now that I look back at this, the cardinal was the one doing the mass, and I turned around and I said, Father, I hope you don't mind. I said, but I'm going to sing something for Richard. He says, please do whatever you want to do, son. And I sang, Let There Be Peace on Earth, a cappella. And then the cardinal looked at me afterwards and says, a nice pair of pipes he got on there. I didn't get to share that with him that night. I know I'll see him again. Those are the magic moments that happen every day. And I feel so incredible. I know that we've gone further and we're going to go back, but these are how the moments happen. And these are how I get inspired every day, every morning, to constantly want new stories and have more opportunities to do that. In closing for this episode, life and death made me realize if you keep your universe open, your soul, your mind, you'll be so surprised how magic happens all the time. And it's right in front of us. No!
If you enjoyed that song and would like to support Thomas Cook's music and ongoing podcast, please visit iTunes where you can purchase Thomas's album, The Gift of Words and Music. For more information and to book Thomas as a speaker at your next event, please visit thomascookdc.com.